Amen and amen, Greenhouse Church. My name is Nico Williams. I get the honor of serving as the lead pastor of this church. It's been awesome. It's an honor. Before we dive into the sermon today, can we just give a round of applause to my man Jonathan Solomon, who led us in worship today? He did a wonderful job. He did it just because I asked him, and man, I'm just so grateful for him. And if you're new here, if this is your first time, if this is your first time here at Greenhouse Church, we're so grateful that you're here. We want you to know that this is a preview service. Ever say preview? That just means that we are launching a church later this fall, and we still got some kinks to iron out, and we're in the process of doing that currently. But I want to invite you back in September, and if you haven't stopped by the first time guest tent, I would encourage you to do so on your way out the door. One last thing before we dive in. This is a little bit of announcement. Prior to today, our church has been doing children's ministry in the building that we share this parking lot with. But I just wanted to make it clear so everybody knows that that will actually shift starting next week. All of our children's ministry will happen in this building. And so all of the details that are surrounding that, they're still being landed on. But you should know and expect that that will be the change coming up. And I just wanted to make sure everybody had that information. Speaking of information that should be had, when I was a kid, my dad always made sure we knew that we were problem solvers. Whenever I had a problem on my math homework I couldn't solve, I'd take it to my dad. I said, "Dad, can you help me?" He would be sure to help, but he would never solve it for me. He always used to say, "Son, this math problem is just a math problem. You are the one with the brain. You're the one with the mind. You are a problem solver." And I thank my dad for that, because my dad gave me this mindset, more than a mindset. He actually gave me this identity that I am a problem solver. Not just when it comes to my math homework, but to all of my life. In every situation, if there's a problem, I have the knowledge that I can solve problems. If you're a follower of Jesus, you should know that you are God's answer to some brokenness in this world. He has created you uniquely with specific gifts, talents, and wirings in order to bring glory to his name. In the passage of scripture that we're going to study today, we're going to see Nehemiah show up to the people of Israel and be the beginning of a solution to a problem that existed in their world. The main idea for today is that God's people are God's answers to brokenness in this world. God's people are God's answers to brokenness in this world. Everybody say, brokenness. You are the answer to that brokenness. So we're going to dive into Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 11. But as you're turning there, you should know that we're in the middle of a sermon series called We Built the Wall. Everybody say, "We Built the Wall." In the book of Nehemiah, what Nehemiah is doing is he has gathered a group of people to do something almost incredible. He's gathered the people of Israel together to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And as a church plant, we know that we are not building God's church. God said that he is building his church. Jesus said that. But we get to participate. What we're doing is partnering with God to present him back to this part of Greensboro. And so that's what we're doing here in the book of Nehemiah. Let me actually catch you up on where we've been in the narrative of Nehemiah. In chapter 1, Nehemiah hears from his brother Hanani that the city of Jerusalem, its walls were broken down and they were burned down, and the city was in great trouble and shame. And the first thing that Nehemiah does is he weeps and he cries, but then after that he prays. He intercedes on behalf of the city, and so our church took some time to intercede on behalf of Greensboro. And then week two, last week, we saw the importance of persistent prayers and planning. So what happened with Nehemiah is, the Bible says that it looks like he prayed the same prayer almost every day for 3 to 4 months. He was persistent in his praying, and then when the king asked him, "What do you request?" he was ready. He had plans on top of plans so that when the king asked him what did he need, he could give it. Today, week three, we're going to see how God's people are God's answers to brokenness in the world. So let's look at a text, starting at verse 11. This is what it says. So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. And I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. I went out by the night by the valley gate to the dragon spring and to the dung gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate into the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the valley and inspected the wall, and I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. And I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were to do their work. Verse 17 says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. They said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Greenhouse Church, will you go to God in prayer with me? Lord, I need you today. I need you to help me. I need you to help me as I preach, God, as we lift up your name. It is to you, O Lord, that we call out for your glory. God, I need you to help us, God, to be the answer to brokenness in this world. God, would you uncover and unlock the gifts that you've given us, the dreams that you put in our heart to do? God, would you help us? Beyond all of that, Lord, I'm just asking right now, God, that you would open up people's ears so that they could hear what you have done in Jesus Christ. Open up people's eyes so that they could see what you have done in Jesus Christ. Open up people's hearts so that they could experience for the first time what you have done in Jesus Christ. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. So today's sermon is going to be broken up into three parts. Point number one is waiting on God. Point number two is inspecting the situation. And point number three is identifying with brokenness. Point number one, waiting on God. Everybody say waiting. One of the primary traits that makes God's people is that they trust in him. One of the ways that we can exercise that faith is by waiting on him and what he might have to say for us. You know, in our passage today, Nehemiah recounts all that he did to inspect the walls of Jerusalem. If you haven't been a part with us the last 2 weeks, you should know that Jerusalem has been broken down, is burned down. And broken walls mean that there's no security from enemies. I read one commentary this week that said that these walls have likely been broken down for 100 years. So you can imagine how somebody might feel unsafe, but also on top of the fact that these walls have been broken down for hundreds of years, there's probably a level of hopelessness. Nobody has built them up before. They're not going to be built up again. As we dive into this first point, revisit verse 11 with me one more time. It says this, so I went to Jerusalem and I was there 3 days. After Nehemiah goes to the king in chapter 1, actually at the beginning of chapter 2, he goes to the king in chapter 2 and he says, the king says, what do you request? And he tells him all the things that he wants. He gets all the things that he needs and he goes to the city of Jerusalem, and the text says he stays. 3 days. He doesn't do a single thing for 3 days, which is odd to me, because when I imagine a city wall being broken down and all the things that I gotta do, why in the world would I wait? What is Nehemiah waiting on? You know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but if I had to bet, I would bet that Nehemiah is taking some time to seek the Lord for instruction. The text doesn't say this. This is my spiritual imagination here. But I just imagine if I had to put some money down, I would say maybe Nehemiah is seeking God for what he should do next. This is just my spiritual imagination, but I do think it brings up a good point. It is wise to seek the Lord's direction in decision making. It's wise to seek the Lord's direction in decision making. Y'all, if God's people are God's answers to brokenness in the world, we must solve those problems as He would direct. Seeking the Lord's direction means opening yourself up to the wisdom of God before you make a decision. Let me just share with you three ways that you can find the wisdom of God. You can find God's wisdom in God's Word, God's Spirit, and God's people. At Greenhouse Church, as one of your pastors, one of the things that you're always going to hear me talk about is your need to seek God in His Word. Our discipleship flywheel, the first step in that flywheel is Word. It goes Word, worship, ministry, and mission. Word, we receive the Word of God. We take God's Word in. I'm always going to be the pastor that is pushing you and pressing you to get in God's Word. What does God's Word say? If you come and you ask me, hey, Nico, what should I do? I'm going to say, well, what does God's Word say first? You spend some time in God's Word. Y'all, the Bible tells us that God's Word is good for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. What this means is that if we want to live righteous lives, the Bible has everything we need. Y'all, while there might not be a particular verse on how to be a Christian on Instagram or what does the Bible say about smoking weed, the Bible does give us principles so that we can understand God's heart for a particular area. So that's how we seek God's wisdom in God's Word, but we also seek God's wisdom in His Spirit. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that at the moment that you believed in Jesus, the Spirit of God began to dwell in you. Also in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians talks about how the Spirit of God begins to breathe understanding in us. Everybody say understanding. And so when we want to know God's heart or what we should do next, we ought to start listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Y'all, one big thing here, and it's actually just going to push us right back to subpoint number one. If you want to understand God's Spirit, you should go into His Word. Because one thing I know to be true, God's Spirit will never contradict His Word. So always, always go back to His Word. The last thing I would say is God's people. Seek God's people. This is the cheat code. Y'all, Greenhouse Church is blessed. We are blessed beyond measure because we got some people with a wealth of experience and knowledge. These are the kind of people that have been there, done there, and got the t-shirt twice. They got the t-shirt the first time because they went with their kids, and then they got the t-shirt the second time because they went with their grandkids. So if you ever need some wisdom, ask the people in Greenhouse Church. They got the same Holy Spirit as you. Here's some final thoughts, okay? When you're seeking God and you need to make a decision, wait on the Lord. Create some time and some space to intentionally ask God, what would you have me do? It doesn't have to be 3 days like Nehemiah, but just take some time and ask and inquire of the Lord and then wait for His answer. If you've asked and you feel like you haven't heard something very clear from God, do me a favor. Just do what one person told me. Pray, guess, and go. You praying, you're asking God, you're going to do the best you can do, and then just make a decision. My dad, he told me, you can't step out of God's will if you're actively seeking it. Now, I actually have a lot more to say on this subject. I kind of give you guys like the cliff notes. And so I actually wrote a blog about this. It's actually up on our website right now if you want to check out. You want to do a little bit of a deeper dive. It just didn't make the sermon, and I didn't want to be here up here too long. So you can check that out if you like. Now, if God's people are God's answers to brokenness in the world, we got to wait on God and listen for direction on how to solve that problem. But, y'all, that leads us to point number two. Inspecting the situation. Everybody say inspect. To inspect means to look closely, to peer at. The next thing Nehemiah does in this text is he goes about the process of inspecting the wall that he was seeking to rebuild. Look at verses 12 through 15 with me. He says, "Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me, but the one on which I rode," verse 13 says, "I went out by night by the valley gate to the dragon spring and to the dung gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate into the king's pool, but there is no room for the animal that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the valley, and I inspected the wall, and I turned back, and I entered by the valley gate, and so returned. Did y'all notice that when Nehemiah went to inspect the walls at night, the Bible says that he had a few men with him? Maybe the primary reason that he had people with him was a safety issue, but I can't help but make the connection to discipleship relationships. You know, one of the primary elements of what it means to make disciples is to simply be with the person that you're leading. And by the way, this is Jesus' way of discipleship. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14, it says, it's talking about Jesus, he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach. Y'all, as Jesus called his disciples together, before he would ever send them out to preach and to proclaim the kingdom and to cast out demons and to heal, the thing that he called them to do first was to be with him. At Greenhouse Church, discipleship relationships are a pretty big deal. If you're one of our co-laborers or our members, I want to ask you to start thinking on and praying about who you might enter into a discipleship relationship with. God grows us by the people that we get to disciple and the people that we are discipled by. And look, don't feel like you got to do this week or today. I just want you to start praying and asking the Lord and seeking his direction. Back to our text. In verse 12, the Bible says Nehemiah, he gets up at night to inspect the walls. Zach, would you do me a favor? Would you put up a picture of the city walls? I hope you can put this visual to the words that we were just talking about. Nehemiah says he starts out by the valley gate. If you can see it right here in the lower left-hand corner, he starts in this valley gate, and then the Bible says he goes around to the dragon gate, and then that's not identified on this map, but he goes to the dung gate, and then his next stop is the fountain gate, and then the city wall, which is in the king's pool, and he saw that the walls were in such disrepair that he couldn't even ride his horse in. And at that point, he turns around, he goes back to the valley gate. Now, what's interesting is Nehemiah hasn't even inspected the entire gate. He gets up, he sees what he can see, and then he goes back home. I don't know the reason, and the Bible doesn't say, but I think that there's a spiritual principle that we can benefit here. You can't redeem broken parts of our world that you're not well acquainted with. Earlier today, we took some time to pray for our city as it begins Pride Month. As Christians have a reputation for being against people who identify within the LGBTQ community. But honestly, that's not the problem, you know, because God's word is clear. God's word is authoritative. It's the definition of gender is male and female. The definition of marriage is one man, one woman for one lifetime. Now, the problem is not that Christians are known for being against LGBTQ. The problem is for the way we are against LGBTQ community. Y'all, we've got to fight this temptation of making statements about people who are made in the image of God when we haven't taken the time to know them. Y'all, this really applies to any area of brokenness. Y'all, God's people are answers to brokenness in the world. This is why it's so important that we not only wait on the Lord, but we get up close and personal with what's not lining up with God's idea or God's design to see what's really going on so we can know the ways that we can love. Y'all, this is actually one of the reasons we're going to be serving at this Serve the City at the Juneteenth Food Truck Festival on June 14th. We're going to get up close and personal with the people of our city, and we want to bring light. We want the light of Jesus to be rightly applied to the situations that are before us. So if you haven't signed up, please do so. You can go to our Connect page on our website to find out more. Y'all, whether it's LGBTQ community or just serving, the point is we just need to be close to the people that God has given us. We need to get up and personal so that we can begin to know. Because my thing is, what if the reputation could be changed? What if there was some confusion amongst the LGBTQ community about Greenhouse Church? They might say something like, I know that the Bible says this about my sexuality, but the people of Greenhouse Church love me. And that's not lining up in my head. What would it look like if that reputation changed, not just in Greensboro, but in the church at large in Greensboro? As God's people, we must follow Nehemiah's example to get close to the area of brokenness so we can know what to do next. Read with me verses 17 and 18 as we move to point number 3. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Here's point number 3. Identifying with brokenness. Greenhouse Church, God's people are God's answers to brokenness in the world. Before we can be a solution, we need to make sure we see brokenness in us first. This keeps us from swooping in and saying, "Oh, I've got the answer." You know, in verse 17, Nehemiah says something that I find extremely interesting. He says, "You see the trouble that we are in." Keep in mind, this is the city of Nehemiah's father. He doesn't live there. He wasn't born there. He didn't go to school there. Yet, he identifies with the issue. The way Nehemiah identifies with Israel reminds me of the way that Jesus Christ identifies with us. There's no humanly logical reason that Jesus should come to earth to save us. The problem all humanity has with God is of our own making. When we sinned against God, we were in great trouble and shame, just like the people of Israel. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. We were on our way to an eternity without God. I don't know about y'all, but it's easy for me to look at somebody else's problem and think that they're there and they're in their problem because of what they did. Like, if you had not done that in the first place, or if you kept your budget, or if you're X, Y, and Z, yada, 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 that is not the way that Jesus responded when he looked at us. When we were in the midst of our sin, Jesus didn't shame us. He didn't blame us. He drew near to us. He says, "Come here, my child. This sin that you've committed, I became it so that you would not have to bear the weight of it anymore." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin." Everybody say "be." "To be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become," everybody say "become," "the righteousness of God." Do y'all see this? Do you understand the weight of what we just read? Jesus didn't just identify with your sin. He becomes your sin so that you could become righteous. Whenever we hear the phrase gospel, this is what we're talking about. That God himself has changed places with us. In his perfection, Jesus became the brokenness of this world so that you could become the righteousness of God. If you are in Christ, this is your identity. You are righteous at the moment of your faith in Christ. It's not something you have to earn. It's not something that you have to achieve. It's not something, it doesn't matter what's been done to you. It doesn't matter what you did. At the moment you believed in Jesus, you become righteous. And when you believe it, I'm talking about believe it to the bottom of believing it, that is when your actions in your life start to change. Let me tell you what this is like. It's like if you offer somebody a cigarette who's trying to stop smoking. If you offer them a cigarette and they say, "No thanks, I'm trying to stop smoking," their identity has not changed. Their actions might have. But if you offer somebody a cigarette who's trying to stop smoking and they say, "No thanks, I'm not a smoker," something inside of them has shifted. And this is what happens when trust in the name of Jesus. We get a brand new identity. The Bible says that old things have passed away. We have been made new. And when we believe that we have a new identity that has been made righteous. It is from the inside out that our lives begin to change. Here's the point. It begins at the heart level. In Christ, you are made righteous. You got a brand new identity. If you don't follow Christ, I want you to know, we want this for you. God wants this for you. Not only does he want you to join him in the process of redeeming the world, not only does he want that, but he also wants you to join him in the process of redeeming the world back to himself. You know, we just read this verse in Corinthians, but we read verse 21. What comes before verse 21 is verse 20. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. What this means is God is inviting his people to be the answers to brokenness in this world. God wants to partner with you. God's people are God's answers to brokenness in this world. So here's our application for today. Use your gifts to be God's answer. You know, another thing about the situation that Nehemiah is in, verse 17 and 18, he says, look, don't you see the situation we're in? Come, let us build the wall together. What's crazy to me about this is that these walls have been torn down for hundreds of years. The people here, they know that the walls have been torn down, and it's been that way for hundreds of years, and they haven't done anything about it. They were without hope. Y'all, Nehemiah isn't some special dude. He's not a prophet. He's not a king. He's not a judge. He's just a regular Joe. He just did what God put in his heart to do. You, believer, you got unique gifts and wirings and personality traits that make you the perfect fit to be the answer to a particular area of brokenness in this world. Doesn't mean you need to automatically go out and start something. Maybe you just need to keep on doing what it is you're doing, empowered by the knowledge that God made you for that. There are others of you that are like Nehemiah. God has put something special in your heart to do. Maybe that's to one day become a vocational pastor, or to plant a church, or to start a mentorship organization, or to be a DJ for your local community. You know who you are. I just wanted to let you know it's time to get started. Because when Nehemiah showed up and said, let's build the wall, the people strengthened their hands to do the work. Somebody somewhere is waiting on you to show up and get started. Be the solution, Greenhouse Church. See the brokenness around you. Wait on the voice of the Lord. Inspect that brokenness and identify with that brokenness. And then get to work. Greenhouse Church, let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you. Thank you that you became our sin. God, I know the sin in my heart. I'm so thankful that you became our sin so that we could become your righteousness. God, I pray that we would become the kinds of people that speak to brokenness in this world. God, we would be the kind of people that wait on you for direction. That we would be the kind of people that get up close and personal with brokenness. That we would identify with that brokenness the same way that you identify with us. God, I pray all these things. That you would help us to get to work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.